My name is Ben Schneider, and these are some recordings that I made in April of 2018. The recordings of my grandparents, Leo and Betty Schneider, who now live in Ames, Iowa, and they're both in their mid-90s, and these are some of the stories from their lives. And so you guys met in Iowa State. Were you both students here at mm-hmm. that point?
Yep.
Okay.
But she, you went. I didn't know Dad before the war. I didn't meet him till after the war. But we had a friend, mutual friend, and well, you tell about your Nebraska business.
Well. You could tell me about the Nebraska.
We were both here in 1942.
Yeah.
When did your folks go to San Francisco?
43.
So you interrupted.
I was out a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you came back from San Francisco, you were a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing in San Francisco again?
Mm-hmm. Well, my dad quit his job with Pillsbury. In the summer of 42, which was my summer working out at Glacier.
Mm.
And because one of the Pillsbury clan, he was at that point the treasurer, they called him, and he told Dad was managing their insurance and to let out bids for in this various insurance, you know, but give the bid to his friend.
Mm.
And Dad just had a fit about that. He said, if there, that I could take all the blame, you know. So Dad was like that. So he just quit.
Huh. Went and found something else in San Francisco? Well,
he was going out to San Francisco. Didn't have a job, and that was a big insurance center, I guess, back then. And but he was still sending out, applications for. And we bought a house, and we just moved into our. The day we moved into that house, we'd been living in a motel. He got a job offer from Sylvania, way out in Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And here we were. But Sylvania paid for our moving expenses all the way back there.
Wow.
I don't know how.
And that this all happened that year I was out of school.
We went
to San Francisco.
I don't know how he managed to get all those gas ration cards.
Oh, yeah, we had to have
to
gas.
Drive back from California.
To drive back there.
Yeah.
New York.
Anyway,
gas was quite a premium back then.
Sure.
You didn't know that?
No, I never heard that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is really interesting. Not many people made that trip in those days across the...
I know.
The United States.
Yeah. It was a great trip.
Well, see, in 1942, when I graduated from high school, I was only 17. And then I came up here to Iowa State in 42. That's the same fall of 42. That's, of course, the same time Betty did, but we didn't know each other. But then I turned 18, so the draft board decided it was time for me to go.
Yeah.
So they removed my deferment. So then I went into the Navy in 43. Well, I knew I was going to be drafted, so I enlisted in the Navy.
Okay.
And so then I was, went through all the rigmarole of being inducted in the Navy. And see, my first, I hadn't been past Omaha in my younger days.
Yeah.
We didn't get around much.
Sure.
And here's this young kid from the flat land, and they put me on a troop ship in Chicago.
A plane.
Not a plane, but a train.
I mean a troop train.
We didn't know where we were going. And all of a sudden, here we are in Montana, and then here are all these mountains, because the road, you know, went to, on Highway 2.
Right.
And I ended up over in Lake Ponderé in Idaho.
Yep.
It was they made a naval training station there. Now imagine a naval training station in Idaho.
Right. It's a big lake, I guess.
Yeah. Oh. Well, they were still trying to find the bottom of it when we were there.
Oh wow.
But Eleanor Roosevelt selected the site, so that was always a lot of commentary. Well, blame it on to Eleanor. So anyhow, and that was cold. See, I finally got there in January. Oh, the first part of January, And, Lake Ponderé, it comes down like this, those mountains.
Yeah.
And of course, we had to do a lot of training in our rowboats, and this wind would come right down.
Yeah.
It was cold out there.
I
tell you.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but Ben, would you like any more apple bread? Because we have a whole loaf over there.
No, I'm fine, Grandma. Thank you. So that was your first view of the glacier area. Yeah.
And I was fascinated when we went. Yeah. Down through over Highway 2, in the troop train car, they were just box cars with the doors were there in the middle of the car. I just was glued to that little window, looking at all these mountains and snow and oh my goodness, I didn't know anything like that ever existed. Well, anyhow, run around the mulberry bush. Well, anyhow, I ended up in the Philippines in 1945, about April. Roosevelt died in April, and I was on the, island of, and then I ended up in the Philippines. Well, August 8th, 1945, the atomic bomb was dropped, and I was in the Philippines.
Oh, wow. Pretty close.
Those are things you kind of remember, because I was with the Seabees, and that's a construction group.
Okay.
And Scuttlebutt, rumor had it that the unit I happened to be assigned to was making preparations to make an assault on the mainland of China.
Uh-huh.
And then, so we get back to Japan. Well, if you know anything about the Seabees back then, they always went in first.
Because,
you had to clear the way, build the roads, and make it reasonable to move some troops through. And so we always went in first, and we were very vulnerable. Well, it's just one of those things. I'm only 19 or so, but anyhow, I can remember we were out... working on the runway, and over the loudspeaker we heard an atomic bomb has been dropped on Japan. An atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded pretty big, and I remember,
excuse me,
Ben, there was just complete silence. Everybody just kind of stood still. It seemed like an hour, but anyhow, you had to kind of, what's this, see? And all of a sudden it just erupted, because we knew we weren't going to have to make that assault.
Yeah.
On China.
Sure.
You know,
so you were pretty elated.
If we're dropping bombs like that, that means we aren't going into Japan.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine in, let's see, 3 weeks after that, it was about 9 o'clock in the evening, we were turning in. The yeoman came from headquarters, called out my name. Well, yeah, here I'm here. He said, pack up your gear, you're going home in the morning. Oh. You know, just like that, see?
Yeah.
Well, we're in this Quonset hut, see? And I have to tell the story because we would get a couple cans of beer a week or something like that, see? Well, I didn't like warm beer. Well, here's the end of the Quonset hut. My bunk's right here. And I had stacked all this beer against this bulkhead, see? You know?
Yeah.
And when word got down the line that I was going home in the morning, hey, Schneider, what are you going to do with all that beer?
So they had a little going away party.
You can imagine what that was like.
Yeah. You were a popular guy at that point.
Well, they did. I asked the yeoman, I said, well, what's happening? He says, I don't know. They don't tell me anything. You just be over there at 7 o'clock in the morning with your gear. You're going to go home. So they sent me home.
Yeah.
Well, what I had done way back in April, there were three of us who were kind of buddies. The Navy had a program, Ben, this kind of what shall I say, unimportant stuff. But they had a program where the enlisted men could take a series of examinations, basically paperwork, and to see if they qualified for officers training. Well, once I got to headquarters, I found out that I had been selected to go to officers training from that crazy examination way back in April.
Yeah. Okay.
So I must have been doing something right.
Right.
So.
They liked what you were doing.
I was playing the cards with the officers pretty well.
Yeah. They got a good impression of you.
Well, I didn't know where I was going to be sent, so we end up in San Diego. And then I was on a troop train from San Diego to Spokane, and during that run, the Japanese had surrendered, and I remember getting into Spokane. Well, you know, the tracks are elevated in Spokane.
Yeah.
And they come across the main drag, and you look down that drag, see, and I remember the train pulling past there and looking down, and of course the war had ended, and that place looked like Japanese had dropped a bomb on it, you know.
Just because of all the people out.
So I ended up back in Farragut, Idaho, at Lake Ponderé again.
Full circle, yeah.
And there I found out they were going to send me to the University of Nebraska.
Oh. And so that's
kind of an involved story.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's how I ended up back here.
So, wait a second. So, you went to the University of Nebraska, and that's where you started your undergrad?
I just started a new Naval Officers Training Unit there.
Okay.
In our ROTC.
And so, I was sent to join that unit in Officers Training.
Yeah.
University of Nebraska. Well, I ended up playing basketball at the University of Nebraska. So on January 18th, 1946.
January 14th.
Yeah, 14th. 1946. See, you remember it better than I. 1946. Yeah. Well, when I knew I was going to come to Iowa State to play basketball, I knew a young lady. She was a good friend of my roommate, Janie. And so I gave Janie, wrote Janie a note and said, hey, I'm going to be in Ames on such a date. Could I get to see you afterwards? So after the game, I met Janie.
Me.
And who was with Janie?
Yeah, old Betty.
See? So we went over to Tro's malt shop and had a malt or something.
So that's when I first met him.
Okay. That was the first time we met.
And so you were...
Coincidence, but, now, see?
But so, you were going to the University of Nebraska, and you were playing basketball, but you were in Ames on the Nebraska team.
So I played with University of Nebraska against Iowa State.
Oh, so what did you think about that, Grandma? He was on the other... He was on the other team.
It was just a friend of James, and then
just some guy.
And he had one of his buddies with him, and we just...
Yeah.
But then back to... But for some reason or other, I saved that basketball program, and it was January 14th. That's why we...
Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow...
And that's my dad's birthday, so that was January 14th.
So anyhow, so come the end of the school year at Nebraska, 1st of June... I had accumulated enough points to muster out.
Okay.
So rather than stay in the program in Nebraska, I decided I was going to leave the Navy and then go back to Iowa State and finish what I started there.
Okay. So.
So here I am back again. And
in the fall,
back.
But then he came for the annual Iowa State Spring Festival called Visha.
Yeah.
And
that
so
was in the spring of 46.
Janie, he came to see Janie again, and I was with Jane, and so then I saw him a second time. You know, this was May or April.
So.
May sometime. Then that was that until
we bumped into each other
at Mass the next fall.
Okay.
And
then
we started dating.
Yeah.
That's and the story.
See, everything's a coincidence, Ben, when you look back on your life.
Sure.
You know? Leads to something else. Well, see, we disagree with this, but anyhow, I came back and...
What do we disagree about?
Went into my fraternity. You know, you can imagine the scramble for housing in 1946 when all the GIs came back.
Sure.
And the university wasn't prepared for that. So fraternities were one place where we could maybe find some lodging. So
sure.
I came back to where I had been pledged in the DU house, and we had a fall event.
Which I didn't ever go to.
Yes, you did.
He says I did. I did not.
It was our annual dog patch dance.
Dog patch.
Now, do you remember anything about Al Capp way back when? And
cartoon.
Little Abner and May and all that. Well, you had to come dressed as dog patch people. See.
Okay.
Well, I invited
Janie.
He
thinks it was me, but he took somebody else.
And Janie said, "Yes, you'll come." So then about the day before, so she calls me and says, you know, I'm not going to get there. I've got my migraine headaches back.
But honey, our stories differ right there,
too.
Would
it be all right if Betty took my place?
But that wasn't for dog patch. That was just a movie date.
Well, you had to come in. Our fraternity was on a hill. And the dining room, you had to come through the window at the dining room, you know. And you had to be dressed. Well, anyhow, she comes dressed like Daisy May, you know.
And I did not ever do that.
And
this is my
note. And here I am helping this beautiful young lady dressed like Daisy May, almost dressed.
Yeah.
Through this window to this dog patch dance, you know. Oh.
So your heart started beating a little faster.
I'm a red-headed I mean, a red-blooded little Abner, you know.
Okay, let's...
So there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the background.
And so, but Grandma, you don't agree with this, so...
What... I never dressed like Daisy May. No, I had no costume. No, never, ever.
So originally, Grandpa, you were sort of asking this Janie woman out on a date.
Well, she's the only one that I knew.
Yeah.
And,
She was just a friend of...
She was really kind of just a
dating,
friend.
Dating a friend
I
of
I wasn't
his.
Really, wasn't really that,
Anyway, that's the end.
Well, yeah, but you go back to this idea of coincidence, yes. And yeah. It's very small
but
chance
anyhow,
that any of this happened.
That's our connection, Janie and Betty, a few little incidences along the way.
Yeah.
Well, we developed a little relationship then, Ben, from 1946.
And my senior year.
Yeah, your senior year, and the spring of... of 47, and during that period of time, she kind of persuaded me that I might enjoy going to Glacier Park, because she's going to have a job there.
Yeah.
So, well, Ben, here she is. Her folks are here, and her sister Marjorie is here for graduation. See.
My graduation.
And I'm invited to ride to Glacier Park with the family, whom I had never met before.
Yeah.
In an automobile for 3 days.
Yikes, yeah.
It was a great trip.
Yeah, well, you know, how do you act?
Right. So you were kind of in a predicament there of trying to make a good show of things.
So I got to know our folks pretty well those 3 days.
So obviously they approved of you.
But of course, we didn't have much time to carry on our normal activities.
Sure. <know? laughs>
I had to be very careful.
Yeah,
I remember that trip pretty well.
So you got the Glacier, and then you guys had lodging there.
I was working at Minnie.
You already had her job at Minnie.
And he just stopped at Hugh Black's.
Yeah.
St. Mary's.
Yeah.
To see if he could get a job, and they hired him.
Huh?
Well, you know, here I am. I'm a good-looking, strapping young man. I've had 3 years in the military, and, you know, I'm in college right now, and so I think Hugh was unduly impressed that
yeah,
I wasn't anybody, so he hired me.
Yeah. And so what was your first job there at St. Mary's? What were you doing?
Well, I was probably on the honey run. The honey run is when you went around and emptied all the trash cans and whatever else in a resort. No, basically, I ended up at the filling station.
Pumping gas.
Okay.
Pumping gas. Hugh had a general store.
Yep.
You know, log cabin, general store, and the gas station was there. The pumps, you know, we would have to pump the gas up into this container, and then when somebody come in and say, well, I want 10 gallons, well, then you had to watch that come down, and then right at 10 gallons, you had to shut it off.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't very automatic.
No, not at all.
But they had to keep track of that. So anyhow, that was the first job at Hughes, and then one thing led to another, I guess.
And so you were working at Minnie that year, mm-hmm. though. So, but you guys got to see each other every once in a while, like drive between the two?
Oh, sure. He was... down to St. Mary's.
Of course, hitchhiking was the name of the game back then. You didn't have cars.
Sure.
So we'd get up there now and then.
Oh, often up at Minnie, you'd be there.
Yeah, often. Yeah, I had to make sure you weren't spending too much time with that other guy in that in that photo processing room.
Oh. So there was some competition, huh?
Oh, well, yeah, you know.
Well, they went on then to Iowa State for 2 years, because he didn't graduate until 49. That's plenty of history.
Well, you need to understand the dedication that I had, because on this one trip up to Glacier Park, I overstayed my time.
Up to Minnie.
Minnie, where she was.
Yeah.
And I overstayed my time, and the traffic was pretty slow getting out. So I ended up walking all the way out to Babb in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, but someone was with you, right?
Yeah. The fellow that calls me periodically from...
It was he?
Yeah. He was the one. He was a relative of the Blacks. Well, anyhow, we got out to Babb while there was some traffic, so we got a ride in. Well, I got back into Hugh Blacks just in time to open up the filling station. I didn't have much sleep that night.
Yeah, right.
Hugh was so impressed that he felt that he needed to get back for his job. I mean, he felt that he was really conscientious.
Yeah.
That became my legacy.
The fact that you were on time.
Well, there you are.
Yeah. All right.
So?
Isn't that fun?
It is fun. Wow, you guys, that was quite a coincidence that you guys found each other after coming back from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did the usual thing. We hitchhiked here and hitchhiked there and hiked a little bit here and hiked a little bit there. And
hiked a lot.
Yeah.